Morning, good morning, good morning. If you would, turn with me to Romans 5 again. I want to just kind of continue on with what we were talking about last week, but we will do some review so that we can catch up for those who weren't part of that. And as we do so, we'll also just want to keep in mind the goal of the instruction is love. No matter what it is that we're doing, no matter what it is that we're studying, no matter what it is that God is doing within us, we need to understand that the goal of the instruction is love. Because He's continually drawing us back to the place of love. He's continually putting it forward in us and bringing it back to us over and over again so that we can't miss this place called love. Hallelujah. In Romans 5 and 12, it says this. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so sin spread to all men, because all sinned. So what this is saying here is that the law of sin and death entered in through Adam, through the fall. And even as sin and death entered in through the fall, God was giving us an opportunity to know Him. The law of sin and death enters in through one man, into the world, to the fallen world. The devil began utilizing this fall as a license to steal. To steal from you. To steal your calling, to steal your purpose, and steal your destiny. To take those things from you because he managed to convince you that you're not who God said you are. He would use those things to steal from us and take from us the knowledge of God. He was trying to replace the knowledge of God with the knowledge of good and evil. See, it was because of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil that we began to partake of those things, and then we began to see that very quickly things digressed into sin, into murder, into envy and strife, into anger. And we saw in Genesis 4:7 where the Lord was speaking to Cain, and he said this, he said that sin is crouched at your door. Be ye therefore a master of it. In other words, basically, it was sitting at the place of access, and sin, and by default, is sitting at the door of access, and it's our choice because of the knowledge of the good and evil that we received there in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We received that opportunity to make a choice. And because we received that opportunity to make a choice, now we have to begin to look and understand what God is doing in the moment. And we have to understand just what the potential of this thing that we're about to do is. Where does it take us? Does it take us closer to God? Or does it bring us somewhere else? We have to recognize that sin comes and it wants to steal from you. It wants to bring torment and pride, and it wants to bring fear and anxiety and stress. Those are all ways that the enemy just takes advantage of us. We see also here that because of this, then there was an occasion for God to bring forth the law, what we call the law of Moses. So we have two laws that are working here. I just want to make that clear. There's two laws that are working here. There's the law of sin and death, which entered in at the fall. And then the law of Moses, which when God began to open up the Ten Commandments to us and open up all the other laws, the Levitical laws, what he was opening up to us was a way and a system to begin to come into a place of alignment with him. What he was doing was showing us who he is through those laws. And the law of Moses, not only does it show us who he is, but it was intended as a schoolmaster. These are all things that we talked about last week. We just said it differently. But it was intended as a schoolmaster to teach us of our need for a Savior. Because until we're convicted of our sin, we just keep on sinning. Until you see something that is sin and understand it to be sin, then you just continue on because of your ignorance. You don't even think about it. I once had an individual call me, and he was sitting in a bar, and he told me this. He said, I've been fasting for 3 days, and now I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, I shouldn't be here. And I'm thinking, you really shouldn't have to fast 3 days to figure that one out. But see, it was such a thing that he had always done. It was just the way he had always done things. He had no conviction about it until that moment. Though it was obviously causing an issue in his life, obviously causing things to fall away from him and causing a certain amount of anxiety and stress upon his marriage and everything else, it was such a part of him that he didn't understand it to be the source of the problem or part of the source. Hallelujah. So in all this, we've begun to look and understand what the law of Moses, and Romans 13:10 has this to say. It says that the law is fulfilled in love. That would be the law of Moses, is fulfilled in love. He's talking specifically because he talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. And so the law of Moses is fulfilled in love. Let me begin to tell you that you can't love them out of your old man. LaRue said that the other day, and it's so true. You know, our old man is only going so far. We might get on a real roll and we do real good and we're going to love everybody real completely for about a week, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a day, maybe an hour. You know, your old man only goes so far with certain situations. But you know what? There's another way. God is bringing about another way. See, the devil has had so much access to us because we've been battling him at the fruit level instead of coming in and identifying the root. And today what we're going to do is, like as we did last week, is expose some more of the root, some more of the very foundation of what can change our understanding about who we are. So much of the world, what we want to do is we want to look at, okay, well, the alcoholism is a problem. Well, yes, it is, but what's the root? Pornography is the problem. Well, yes, it is, but what's the root? Never fails when we go through these things that as we get further and further into it, we find out that the real roots come back to where we are with God. Where we are with God. I had a new guy, and he had a real pornography issue. In the midst of this pornography issue, what we began to do is this began to identify what was going on in his heart in those moments. And as we identified what was going on in his heart in those moments, he just wanted to be loved. And so then when he began to be exposed to the truth of God's love, the truth of his love for him, then the pornography issue just went away all by itself. We didn't have to deal with all the other fruits because we dealt with the root. So the enemy is going to be legalistic. And he's going to take advantage of our ignorance. Every devil wants to just be real legalistic about everything. And so what we've uncovered here is the law of the spirit of life is the answer to the law of the spirit of sin and death. Because see, in this uncovering of this, there's a revealing of the law of the spirit of life. And as the revealing of the law of the spirit of life goes forth, there's a dealing with and a presenting of an answer to the issues of sin and death. Romans 10:4 says this way. It says, Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes. Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes. He is the end of the law for everyone who believes. What he's saying here is that you're not being left by yourself. He's the end of the law of sin and death. I'm putting in sin and death because I want to identify which law we're talking about here. But he's the end of the law of sin and death for everyone to believe. We also saw that love was the fulfillment of the law. And that's the fulfillment of the law of Moses. And so when we see that Christ is the end of the law of sin and death and love is the fulfillment of the law of Moses, then what we can see is God is love. And so when we begin to understand him in this context, when we begin to understand the law of life in Christ, we're receiving the answer to both of these old laws. The law of the spirit of life in Christ is the answer to both laws. See, you're not being left to yourself because God is continually bringing you back to the place of love. If you turn with me to Romans 8:2, I just want to look at this one because this is the foundation which says what I just said. And this is kind of a cornerstone scripture for this time. He says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of spirit of life in Christ has Past tense. It's already done it. It's already been accomplished. It's already complete. All that's necessary is for us to find it and to adhere to it. So he's already set you free from the law of sin and death. If you read on down to verse 6, it says, "For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace." That Spirit that he's talking about is not the Holy Spirit. I know it's capitalized, but that's not the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit here. We're talking about the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life is life and peace to those who will hear it, those who will abide by it, those who will look for it, those who will allow it to make a change in their life. See, we want to just separate this out from what we have already known. Because this is not just about new information. It's not just about a new way or new understanding. It's about a new foundation that God's wanting to put in our understanding. It's a new foundation. There's a foundation now of the Spirit of life in Christ that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to enforce. I believe today is Pentecost, if I'm not mistaken. So there's an outpouring God wants to do. There's an outpouring in our life. And see, the Holy Spirit, he only comes to support what God has already decreed. That's the law of the Spirit of life. He comes to support and to make evident to us the freedom that we have received. He made sure that they could not miss the freedom that they were being given because of the Spirit of life. God wants to make our freedom evident. Galatians 5:1 says that for freedom we were set free. And it's time for us to begin to enjoy that freedom. Begin to rejoice and recognize that we are free from all these other things that the enemy tries to accost us with. We are free from all the other things that the enemy tries to push upon you through your neighbor or your friend. All the things that are being said by yourself or by others. But he's come to set you free. He's come to set you free from your past. He's come to set you free from all the things that have basically brought nothing but depression and oppression into your life. He's come to set you free from the workings of the enemy through lies and selfishness and deceits. He's come to set us free. See, when we begin to understand this change of our foundation, it can allow us to better understand just how do we come into this place with God. How do we understand who we are? When we understand that we have been set free by the law of the Spirit of life, that we've been set free from the law of sin and death, now I can begin to look at myself differently. When I look at myself differently, now I can begin to think about myself differently. When I think about myself differently, now I can begin to form attitudes differently. And as I form my attitudes differently, I can begin to behave differently. And I don't have to have someone doing it from some external source. I don't have to have some external recruiting process going on or somebody applying some accountability to me from the outside, because now I have an accountability that comes from the inside, because God is the one who is my judge. The God is the one who is my judge. And when I know that, and when I know his love for me, his ultimate place for me, then I can begin to enjoy this place of relationship with him. And as I enjoy the place of relationship with him, now I can begin to be changed and transformed by those things that he keeps putting in front of me. Because see, he'll put his glory and his grace in front of you, and he'll give you a path to walk out, and he challenges you with the thing called faith. And as he challenges you with his faith, there's something that happens within us as we grow into that place of maturity in Christ. We begin to walk with him, not because someone made us, but because we have a desire to. Because we have a desire to. See, so many times we have persistent strongholds. I'm not going to look at anybody else here because I got my own. But we have these persistent strongholds. And this is an answer to those strongholds in our life. What we're doing here by understanding this law of the Spirit of life is we're unlocking the potential that God has put in each and every one of us. We're unlocking that potential so that we can come to the fullness of the knowledge of Him. Because in that fullness is the fullness of love. Hallelujah. Going on down here in Romans 8. Romans 8, he's just continually making point after point after point. And he concludes to bring into the conclusion in this chapter. And the conclusion of this chapter says this, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Everything that He is doing in our lives is to bring us to this point to where we know that we know that we know that we can't be separated from this love of God. The season of sadness is over. We can't be separated from this love of God. Romans 8:21 there now says this. It says that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. It will be set free from slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. I want to just hold this as a background thought because I want to explore something because I want to show you something else here as we're going through. But what he's doing, the object of what he's doing is setting us free from the corruption of sin. He's setting us free from the corruption of sin and he's bringing this into the glory of God, the glory of the children of God. There's a freedom as a child of God. And I want to explore that in just a minute. But first I want to take you over to Romans 6 to look at how did he get to this point. Because see, in Romans 6, he begins to explain how we get to this place of being free from slavery to sin. Romans 6, verse 2. Oh, never mind. We'll just back up to 1 because 2 doesn't make sense without 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin, still live in it? Verse 10. For the death that he died, being Jesus, he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. God is setting an order here. He's setting an order. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with. The body of sin is done away with because the old self is crucified, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. He's setting you free from the slavery to corruption. He's basically giving you to the place where you can begin to understand that I'm not a victim to this sin. When I understand the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, then I can also understand I'm not a victim to sin. And when I'm not a victim, now I can know that I can begin to have dominion. God created within us a dominion factor. And that dominion factor is to overcome sin. That dominion factor is what it begins to overcome every obstacle that the enemy would like to put in our way. That dominion factor can also be utilized to bring us into the fullness of our destiny that he created us for. But he put that dominion factor in us so that we can begin to come forward in the things of our calling. And he did that by erasing our sin upon that cross, by burying that sin forever with him. And it's something that we know is a positional truth, but we can begin to not only know it as a positional truth, but we can also know it as the truth in our hearts. We can know that it is the Spirit of life in Christ is giving us this victory. When we begin to look at the things around it, whatever persistent stronghold that we've been dealing with, and we can look at that stronghold now and we can say, no, you're going to have to bow to the Spirit of life in Christ. The law of Spirit of life in Christ transcends the law of sin and death. So it's greater than the law of sin and death. And so you've got to bow down because the law of Spirit of Christ is in me. I choose to receive the law of Spirit of Christ. Life in Christ will supersede whatever else it is that you're dealing with. But we're not victims. It's so easy for us to pass off things as a victim, but it's not who we are. It's not who he created us to be. And he's calling us to a greater dominion. He's calling us to a greater awakening by the Spirit of life. And so all this is just to bring you down to, let's go down to verse 14. Also one of my favorite verses. I got a lot of favorite verses. But that's okay. For sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Sin is not going to have dominion over me. Because I'm not under law, but under grace. Remember what we were talking about a little while ago in Genesis 4:7. The Lord told Cain that sin was crouching at his door, but he had to be master over it. This gives you the power to do that. What I'm submitting to you today is that this thing called grace is an operation of the Spirit of life in Christ. It's an operation of the law of Spirit of life in Christ. And it's through this operation called grace that we begin to take hold of the dominion that God is giving us. When we realize that grace comes into our life, not to give us an excuse for our sin, but it comes into our life to give us the power to overcome sin. It gives us the power to become who God had said we were to become. And it enables us not to do something wrong. It enables us to do the very will of the Father. And when we understand that, now then we can begin to come into concert with Him, recognizing His plan and His purpose for our life. It's good to be in concert with Him. Amen? Amen. Because, let's see, under the law of Moses, you could never be changed. Romans 7:12 says that the law of Moses was righteous, holy, and good. But see, there was nothing in it that changed you. All it did was corral you. But see, the law of the Spirit of life, which is greater than that law is able to change you. Because now when that life of Christ becomes apparent within us, see, now we can begin to wear and understand the mind of Christ that comes with it. When we understand the mind of Christ, we begin to look at the world around us differently. I'll probably explore some more of that next week, but today, I want you to understand that this grace that has come, this grace that is in God, this grace is there to enable you to walk out the fullness of God's glory. To walk in the fullness of His glory, to walk in the fullness of His habitation, to walk in the fullness of your destiny as a person and as a child of God. Grace coming in as an operation of the Spirit of life in Christ allows us to close the door on sin. Romans 5:21 says that sin reigned through death, and that grace, the Spirit of life in Christ, reigned through righteousness unto eternal life. The grace, the Spirit of life in Christ, reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. God has a destiny for you. That destiny for you is not just to be some sad, broke sucker sitting in the corner somewhere. I look at all these beer commercials, right? And having been someone who's spent quite a bit of time in bars, I recognize that there's a lie going on here. Because see, the beer commercials show you these people are having a good time and they got all the women hanging on their arms and everything's wonderful. And you know what I see at the end of the day is some poor sucker sitting at the end of a bar, no one to talk to, all by himself, in the dark. Nothing but sadness. You know, the enemy continually sells us these lies, making us think something that's not real. But God wants to give you something that's real. He wants to bring you into the light. He wants to help you understand just who you really are. And so that you don't wind up sitting at the end of the bar in the dark by yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Hebrews 13:9 says this, that the heart is established with grace. The heart is established with grace. Everything that's within us is established in grace. God wants to do a work in your heart. See, it's not enough for us to just know something in our head, but we have to be able to hold on to it with our heart. We have to hold the Word with our heart. As we hold the Word in our heart, now things can begin to manifest around us. As we hold it in our heart, we're giving God a place for the operation of God to come forth around us. There's a release of the operations of God that happens when we begin to hold His truth in our heart. We can begin to cause the environment around us to be conformed Because we're holding the Word of God in our heart. Romans 12 and 2 tells us to be not conformed to the world. And it's so easy to be conformed to the world. But when we begin to understand the Word of God and we establish it within our heart, the Word of God is established by this grace. And when it's established in our heart by this grace, we're no longer conformed by the world, but we're conformed by that Word that we have within us. It's being established by grace. Grace is the thing that causes it to come and be activated on our behalf. You can have certain awarenesses that are going on in your head, but just because it's going on in your head doesn't bring it into the place of activation. Activation is found through grace, through a release of God's Spirit in you. Hallelujah. Titus 2:11 says, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Or the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Does that work? I think it works. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify him for himself, a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. A people of his own possession, zealous for good deeds. He is establishing us through this thing called grace. And the purpose of this grace is to bring forth the very character of God, the very integrity of Christ in you. As we walk out this grace, then the character of Christ is made evident within us. Acts 20 and 32 says, grace will build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. It gives you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. It's not leaving you poor, broke, busted, and disgusted. Grace is bringing something into your life. It's bringing a gift of inheritance into your life. It's bringing a gift of change into your life. Because it doesn't matter what was the past. It doesn't matter what your past generations did, what your mommy and your daddy did any longer. Because grace is here to give you a new inheritance. Grace is here to give you a greater inheritance than what you have already received from anyone else. Because he wants to give you an inheritance that changes you. It's able to build you up. It comes to build you up. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ comes to build you up. Comes to establish you as one who is sanctified. Because see, only when we become fully and firmly convinced and established in this truth that we are a son of Christ, that we're a son of God, and that we are a brother to Christ, only when we begin to understand this truth that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, can we be truly satisfied with where we're going. Can we truly be satisfied with who God is creating us to be? Because until we understand that, we're not going to understand the fullness of what God can reveal to us and in us. This grace, as it builds us up and gives us inheritance among those who are sanctified, it's kind of like in the pyramid schemes, it's like giving you a new upline. Giving you a new upline. See, there are things that are handed down to us generationally, and it's given you a new upline. You know, all those things that your great-grandfather did and all those other things that whatever else happened, it doesn't matter anymore. Those aren't the things that are going to control your life because God, through this grace, has given you a new upline. See, if sickness and disease, poverty or mental illness or something like that's in your family history, God's given you a new upline. You don't have to look and hold to that anymore. You can rejoice because God's given you a new upline through this thing called grace. Through this operation of the Spirit of life in Christ. An operation of the Spirit of life in Christ. It says, by grace in Hebrews 12, we serve God acceptably. We get to recognize that there's a new law in our members. We no longer have to serve anger and addiction. We no longer have to serve mental illness. We no longer have to serve fear and torment. We no longer have to let anxiety control our actions and our thoughts. We no longer have to let depression and oppression be the things that affect how we look at the world. Sadness and grief, those begin to roll off when they're compared to the Spirit of life in Christ. You know, 2 Timothy 1 and 2 was the first verse that I ever memorized. And it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. When I recognize now, not only is this verse speaking out truth for my life, but it's being backed up by a foundation of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. When I begin to recognize that, now change can begin to happen in my life. Because fear does ugly things to you. Fear will cause you to do ugly things to yourself and to others. Fear will cause you to be frozen in a moment you need to be active. Fear will cause you to shrink back and not do the very thing that faith would have you to do. Fear would cause you to lose out. It's another way the enemy steals from us. Fear will cause you to sever or sabotage a relationship because rejection is telling you they might not like you. So what do? Our solution to that, a defensive mechanism kicks in. We'll just reject them first. Out of my life. Because that's what fear will cause in our life, is it'll begin to make things look like they're not. That's where paranoia comes from, is a spirit of fear. These things get multiplied and built one upon another, and all you're doing is reacting to the fear, to a spirit of fear. But see, that spirit of fear can be uprooted and kicked out. It's uprooted and kicked out by the Spirit of life in Christ. The Spirit of life in Christ is greater than the spirit of fear. That law is greater than any law that would govern fear. Conversely, fear and pride like to work hand in hand a lot of times. You find something that causes you to go into fear. So you go into fear, and then anger comes along and shows you a way out. Well, hey, we can just take this and we can stuff it down over here. And then pride comes along and says, "Ooh, what a good job we did. What a good job we did." But see, pride has some real downfalls, because pride will keep you from being teachable. Pride will put you in places you don't need to be. I remember in high school one time I got accosted by four young men. And, you know, I could have walked away, but pride wouldn't let me walk away. So I mixed it up with all four of them. Okay, you can understand what the likely result of that was, you know. Unless you're Chuck Norris way, it's just not going to work, okay? And I'm Chuck Miles, not Chuck Norris. At the end of the issue here, I was, you know, laying on the concrete and all sad and busted up and bloodied up and not feeling too good about myself. So then the prettiest girl in school happens to come by and see me in this sad, sorry state, and my pride got busted anyway. It's not good. Not good. See, pride puts you in stupid places. You know, it's so easy. You know, you can be in pride even if you have nothing. Even if you have nothing, you can say, "I got my pride." Well, yeah, you got your pride, and that's what's keeping you right where you're at. Unless you're ready to let go of that pride, and unless you're ready to let go of it, you're going to stay right where you're at. And you're not going to get up and out where God wants you to be, because you're not allowing yourself to be teachable. He needs for us to be teachable. He desires for us to be teachable, and we need to be teachable, because see, only when we're teachable can our blessing come forth. Because oftentimes our pride is blocking us from receiving the blessing that God wants to put in our life. Hallelujah. We want to allow this thing, this operation of pride, to be laid down. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is greater than any pride, than any sin, which is part of the law of sin and death. See, I mentioned anger a while ago, and you can... You know, when we stuff it down like that, you know, we may be all prideful that, hey, we managed the situation. But when you just continually stuff it down, it's going to come back out. And it's going to erupt in a volcano on somebody somewhere. is more than likely, although sometimes people then direct that anger at themselves, but most of the time the anger gets released on some innocent victim somewhere. I know of a young man, and he was at the McDonald's drive-up window, and he brought him a sandwich, and he opened his sandwich, and he looked at his sandwich, and he said, "I said, mayonnaise, not mustard," and threw it back in the window. See, that was just that volcano erupting on somebody who had nothing to do with it whatsoever. All the issues in his life spilled out into that moment as he threw that sandwich back in the window. We can see that as, well, that's a really irrational thing. But no, if you knew what the rest of his life was like, it's not as irrational as it seemed. Because there were other things that hadn't been dealt with. Other things that kept pressing down, until finally it explodes in some moment. It's totally inappropriate. The answer? Begin submitting it to the law of the Spirit of life. Because, see, the law of the Spirit of life will be able to overtake those issues. It'll be able to uncover, unseat, and release those things into a place where there's safety. It's going to bring you into a place where He's going to build you up in His strength. He's going to build you up in His understanding. He's going to build you up in His love until such a day that you can overcome this obstacle. You can count on it. You can count on it. That process may not always look as pretty as it means, but the deal is that you'll be also knowing that you're loved and accepted, and it's okay. When we're loved and accepted, we can release things. All these things have been squatting in our life. Cho says they're illegal parkers. But God has a new way. See, a while ago we talked about this. We talked about in Romans 8:21, it said the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And when you're freely loved and accepted, that's one of the freedoms of the children of God. When you truly understand your place as a child of God, you know you're freely loved and accepted. And in that place, you'd have no need for insecurity, unworthiness, or condemnation. Why? Because I'm accepted in Him. In that place, I have no need for pride and greed. Why? Because my needs are met in Him. I have no need for jealousy because my needs being met in Him. Everything I have need of is being met by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ because of this relationship that it's brought me into. God wants to bring us into a place where we understand His love for us. Because then in the answer to so many of our other issues and strongholds is really coming to know this love. When we truly understand our place as a child of God, then there's a desire for obedience. And there's no rebellion. There's a desire for obedience and there's no rebellion. The world has it such that we obey to be accepted. But God has it that He accepted you so you could obey. Very different. Very different. God's ways are always different than the world's ways. His acceptance gives us the opportunity to walk in obedience because now we don't have need of the reasons for our rebellion. We talked about the difference, and that's one of the differences between independence and true freedom. See, independence so often is really just another form of rebellion. God has something greater. When we're submitted to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, we're free from physical and emotional pain. When we understand our place as a child of God, we're free from our emotional and physical pain. Because, see, I cannot picture in heaven that we have to worry about all those things. I don't think there's any brokenness in heaven, physically or emotionally. There's no brokenness for our mind. There's no brokenness for our heart in heaven. There's no brokenness for our body. And so when we begin speaking forth and calling forth and inviting the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ into our life, we're inviting that wholeness that we've not otherwise known. We're inviting that wholeness. And see, sometimes that freedom from pain will change our entire personality. Just before I got saved, I got healed. My back got healed. When my back got healed, my whole disposition changed. Why? Because when you're constantly fighting this pain in your body, you get surly. You get testy. It changes your personality. And see, our emotional pain even more so. Because see, so many of the things that we did, we're just doing it as a backlash from that pain. We hurt others without even intending to hurt others. It's not our conscious directive or a thought, but it's just the only thing that we know. It's the only way what we're doing is the only way we know to break off the pain. But the law of spirit of life is greater than our mechanisms of defense. The law of spirit of life is greater than our infirmity. It's greater than our sickness. It's greater than our disease. It's greater than our poverty. It's greater than whatever is attacking or ailing you. And it doesn't go into the place of heaven. The law of spirit of life will be present in heaven, but all these other things will not come in. And as a child of God, we can find freedom from the deceiver. We can find freedom from deception. We can find a place of freedom and find a place of truth. As we can become to know truth, as we know truth, we can rest in Christ. We can rest in His finished work. And we can rest from those things that try to stir us up, stir us into competition and performance. We can rest from all those issues because we've allowed this law of the spirit of life to come forward. But the greatest thing that we have in the law of spirit of life, the greatest thing that the children of God have, is free access to Papa. Free access to Papa. Jesus not one time ever had to doubt or wonder, does He love me? He never had to doubt or wonder, do I have access to Papa? He knew it. And so can we. Your access is not something that requires all these gyrations. Your access is right now. In this second, you can present yourself before Him and know that He receives you. All the other things we do are to prepare our mind or prepare ourselves and get ourselves on a track to understand and receive what God has already done. See, because the access that you have to Him is not about you. It's about what God already did. And so therefore, a half a second from now, you can be with Him. Because you choose to. And He already chose to. He wants to lead you into this place. This access leads you into a place called love. I got time for one more scripture, Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. What we've been talking about? The glory of the children of God. The glory of the kingdom. It comes to us by what? The law of the spirit of life in Christ. So He would grant you by according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. His Spirit. The Spirit, that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. The Spirit of life in Christ here. So we'll be strengthened with power through the Spirit of life in Christ in our inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you might be rooted and grounded in love. That you might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And there's your destination. The goal of the instruction is love. There's your destination, fullness. Fullness in God. He just released to you a place that you can come to, a place of understanding this fullness, because as you understand the fullness that we have in God, we have no more need of the other things that have pestered us. And that's all they are, is just pestering us now. God's already decreed it and declared it. All we have to do now is begin to accept it and walk in it, knowing that in this place we have an availability to Him that's unprecedented. The Old Testament, they didn't have that option. We do. And as we do so, we can be exposed to a love, we can be exposed to a glory that changes not only us, but it changes our whole surrounding. It changes a generation. As we begin to hold on to it and begin to love Him, and as we love Him, as we hold on to Him, as we hold on to this Word, it changes us and it changes all those who are connected to us. It changes a whole generation. You can see it happen in this church. You can see it happen in individuals that you know. You can see it happen in your home and in your workplace, because God is doing something in your life. And as He's doing something in your life, there's a testimony of Jesus that is released. And the testimony of Jesus will always bring forth the healing of the leaves into your situations. It'll bring forth healing and restoration. It'll bring forth reconciliation. Or reconciliation is needed. The testimony of Jesus comes forth because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ brings life through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless.